But the devil can give you moments too. The devil can give you moments. Moments of temptation. To make you run off course. In Luke chapter 4, he gave Jesus a moment. He says, and in a moment, he showed him all the glory and the kingdoms of the whole earth. In a moment. In the temptation. The devil doesn't come with just fruit salad. He comes with everything he's got. He had all authority, all power, and all the glory over all this. He said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this. He doesn't come with just the entree. He comes to you with the entree, the main meal, and dessert all at once to try and lure us away from the course and the purpose of our God. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, my God, that you are sovereign and all by yourself. You are God alone. There is no one to compare to you. There's no one, Lord, that is above you. You are absolute. You are the one and only. Truly, there is many gods of this earth, but you are the living God. And you rule over all things, under it, in it, and above it. We serve the great I am. And I want to say I love you this morning. Anoint your word, Holy Spirit. Let your weight be upon these words, that it might bring life to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Can you get my glasses? Oh, where's my glasses? You had them, darling. You had my glasses. Great. Luke chapter 4. Here it is. I'm good to you, I tell you. It says this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Not every wilderness experience you will go through. What do I mean by wilderness? Not every place where you don't feel, you don't connect, you're not in the rhythm of the things of God. Every wilderness is not necessarily a devil. Sometimes God gets you in a place of being alone with Him so He can minister to you. He will disconnect you, disenfranchise you away from people even. So He can get you alone to minister to you alone. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Jacob. He did it with me. He'll do it with you. He will get you alone so He can minister to you personally. He doesn't get you lonely. Loneliness is from the devil. But He can get you alone. And sometimes He gets you alone to circumcise that heart of ours to keep it flesh. Amen. So it has feeling toward Him. Glory. Filled with the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. That's a message all by itself. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word of God. This earth and the things of this earth are not my source. They are not. If you're born again here this morning, it is not your source. You're in it, but you're not of it. You can enjoy it, its splendor and its wonder and its beauty, but this is not your home. Amen. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Then the devil, verse 5, said to him, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All of it. Everything he's got. He showed it in a moment, within a second. He doesn't come half-hearted. He doesn't come with just a tidbit. He comes with everything he's got to stop the sons of God or the Son of God fulfilling purpose. All temptation is common to man, the Bible says. You're not unique and specific. All temptation is common to man. 1 John 2 verse 18 will say this. The three things that remain upon the earth, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They are his three anchors. They are his three things he uses all the time. Different ways, different formulas. But eventually it is down to those three things that he has got left on this earth. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Amen. The third dimension is the most powerful dimension. You've probably heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. The third dimension is the most powerful dimension. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Father, Son, holy power. Body, soul, and the third dimension is the power dimension. He comes with you with everything he's got. It says in the book of Peter, beware of the enemy. He comes around like a roaring, seeking he whom he may what? Devour. I've heard messages saying that the lion's a gummy. He comes as a lion. Oh, he's just a gummy bear. He ain't a gummy bear. He has things that he can use to pull down what God is trying to build in your life. Amen? And when he latches on, he doesn't like to let go. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there's one greater than him. Hallelujah. There's a one greater than him, the lion tamer. Amen? Stay in Christ, no matter what's happening. Stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. Stay with the mindset of God. No matter what's happening in the world, confusion is abounding. The world system is abounding to where they're calling good evil and evil good. Wickedness is abounding. Sin is abounding. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Hallelujah. And no matter what hour of the night it will be, I'm telling you now, there will be a light. God will have that remnant bright shining in that day. And God is saying this morning, I really believe this with all my heart, we better be ready for the moments. Because he's not just going to come with a trifle. He's not just going to come with a chocolate. He's going to come against the body, the woman of Christ, with everything he has. And you are the body of, you are his natural enemy. You are his natural enemy. You see, you're of the spirit of truth. My Bible says there's no truth in him. My Father is the God of all creation. Jesus calls him the Father of, he calls him Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. Amen. My Bible says this, put on the armor of God. We need to make sure that we're walking with the fullness of the armor of God every day of our life. It's not something I put on, not something I put off when there's a battle ahead of me. I've got to be ready every day of my life because he will come at an opportune time. He left Jesus. Jesus rebukes him. He leaves. Another gospel says this, he leaves for till a more opportune time. Amen. Jesus was hungry. Isn't it amazing when the devil knows you've got an appetite, he comes? And I'm not talking about food. We're going to have an appetite for things we shouldn't be eating, shouldn't be touching, shouldn't be drinking. Amen. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. These defining moments can adjust or change your years ahead. These defining moments of choice and decision can actually dictate to my future. If I choose the wrong, it can dictate my future. Are you with me? If I choose the right, it will dictate my future. Amen. There is therefore a battle for the control of your mind. Book of Galatians tells me this. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. But you're a triune being. The spirit is lusting against the flesh, saying, no, you're not going to have this, it's mine. And the flesh, the spirit saying to the flesh, no, you're not going to have this, this is mine. And what it's lusting over is your soul. Because as a man thinks, there he goes. As a man thinks, there he goes. There is a warfare for your soul. The enemy will come with his tasty trifles. He'll come with his main course, his entree, and his dessert. Vanilla slice. And his dessert. And he will bombard you enough, hoping to get you to taste. Whether the lust of the eye, whether the lust of the flesh, or the most insidious of them all, the pride of life. The other two are a sin, but pride is an abomination. Because pride self-exalts. Pride keeps me on the pinnacle of self, where I make God fit me. So now I've made myself an idol of me. The devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to you, whom I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You've sometimes, and I have sometimes, I've got to stand and call it what it is. Sometimes we get consumed in the fight of the flesh. But my Bible says this, I do not fight flesh and, but I fight principalities and powers and rules of darkness of this age. You are not fighting your wife. You are not fighting your husband. You are not fighting your friend. Most of it, you'll be fighting your pride or a devil. Not every battle's the devil. Sometimes it's just plain old you and I refusing to walk in the Spirit. A thing called pride. Pride, that hidden thing. That thing that can manifest on the inside, yet be all pious on the outside. Lifting up our holy hands and waving them to Jesus. Yet inside seething with pride. The carnal mind. I want to say this about the carnal mind. God can never make peace with the carnal mind. The book of Romans says this. The carnal mind is enmity against God. He can't negotiate with the carnal mind. It is contrary to him. The carnal mind is the nature of the beast. It is capable of anything. It is a decision away to be able to do anything. Capable. Cain and Abel. It came into Cain's mind because he got jealous and he got full of pride. And he says, I'm going to kill him. I don't want to scare people this morning. But you talk to most murderers and they'll say this. It was a quick decision that I just made. I just did it. The carnal mind is capable of anything. He will feed. The tasty trifles of the enemy will feed the carnality of man. It's one of those things that we've got to constantly put off and put on the mind of Christ. I've got to make sure I keep renewing this mind. Amen? Anyway, let's go. Therefore, if you worship me for me, all this will be yours. Jesus answered, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him you shall serve. One of the greatest attacks on the church today from the enemy is your identity. He wants to rob it. In fact, he wants you to forget who you are. Amen? He attacked Jesus. Here's how powerful the thing that Jesus did. If Jesus took up the temptation the easy way, all of humanity was lost. Every prophecy of the Old Testament was in vain if he dared take up the temptation. He wanted him to take the temptation of the easy way out because, you see, if you take the temptation, you don't have to go to the cross. There's no pain. There's no suffering. These are the tasty trifles he brings to you. You didn't have to deal with that. You didn't have to go through that. Oh, they're wrong. You're right. Why should you bother with them? And so he brings tasty trifles to you. And all it is to make you come off the course or the purpose of God for your life, which is to manifest Christ in this hour like never before. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you're here to manifest Jesus the Christ and his glory, that the world might behold him in you and through you? Not just to hear about him, but to see it living inside every born-again believer. Amen. The devil showed him in a moment of time, in a minuscule period. He showed him everything in that moment. It didn't take him a week. It didn't take him a book. It didn't take him a tape. He did it within, bang. And he saw everything he had. Can I tell you something about the devil? He's all in. He's all in. He's all in to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's all in. You will never read in the Bible where a devil fights a devil. You will never read in the Bible where the kingdom of darkness is divided. They are set on the destruction of the body of Christ. They can't touch him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Their assignment is you and I. We need to be on guard more than ever before in this hour from the sway of the enemy to stop him allowing his lullaby to bring apathy and to bring, what's the word I'm looking for? This, whatever shall be attitude coming into the house of God. We need to be full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to be knowing and have this discernment of the Spirit about the signs of the times we're living in. We need to understand that we're living in a day of prophetic utterance that God ordained centuries ago.
We need to understand that he is all out war. We're discussing what's happening in the world, but I'm telling you in the spirit, there's a greater war happening. He's after a kingdom. And everything within me compels me to warn you, be ready. Be ready. Be ready in this hour. Stay sharp. Stay full. Have a life of prayer. Have a life of reading your word. Have a lifestyle of seeking his face. Have a lifestyle of saying, your kingdom, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Have a lifestyle of saying, God, you're my priority. Seek ye first the... and all these other things. And hear me, that's all they are. They're just things. You're not going to take your 4x2 to heaven. I'm not going to take my Mercedes to heaven. I'm not going to take anything of this earth to heaven. But who I can take to heaven is someone that's lost. Someone that needs to hear about Jesus. My family that is solidified in the things of the kingdom of God. My wife and my marriage demonstrating the goodness of God. To be a reflection on this earth while we've still got breath that he's alive. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Glory. These moments can dictate my future years. But when the devil brings a moment, God brings moments. For where sin abounds, grace abounds so much more. Amen. These moments can define years. And when God brings moments about, Joel 2:28 says this, or 2:25, who will restore the years, the grasshopper, the cankerworm, the locust, and the palmer worm have eaten? 2:25, thank you. Who will restore the what? Who will restore your what? Your years. Who will restore your years? Who will give you back what has been stolen from you? He'll restore your years. Didn't say restore your cars. Didn't say restore your houses. Didn't say restore your bank book. He'll restore your youth. So you become passionate on fire for the things of God. Jesus had a moment in time that affected the years to come. Jesus' moment affected me. His moment affected my life. Because he refused to pick up the temptation that was set before him. Jesus was tempted with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. He took him up to the high point in the temple. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For doesn't it say that the angels will take charge over you, and you, unless you dash your foot against a rock? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Last one. If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all the pride. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Footnote hint. If the firstborn of many brethren can overcome, the same spirit that rose him from the dead and empowered him to overcome resides where? Where does he reside? He resides in you. Please don't ever say, I can't do it. If you have Christ within you, you can. My Bible says this, he will never give you anything you can't handle. So if it's something I have to endure, endure it with a smile because he knows you can do it. You can do it. Do you know Nike pinched that from Jesus? Just do it.
Jesus had a moment. Samson was a man that had a moment. Samson was a man. Next slide, please. Samson was a man that had a moment. Samson was a man that was consecrated unto the Lord. He had a Nazarite vow. He had a Nazarite vow. One that didn't drink wine, or one that didn't touch a dead thing, and one that didn't cut his hair. He was separated from birth. He was separated from birth. God has called us all to be Nazarites. A Nazarite vow. Separated. When you got born again, you were separated to God. Your second birth. Separated to Him to live a consecrated life. Amen. Samson had a moment. A judge for 20 years. Then all of a sudden, the devil threw his entree, his main meal in his vanilla slice to him in the shape of a woman called Delilah. Delilah. That spirit is still here today. Samson, doing mighty things, a judge. Named in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 as one of the great men of faith. Can you believe that? Samson. But he is. He found a key. He had his moment and he failed in his moment. And the devil comes along with Delilah's in our life. Comes along with Delilah's in our life. Shows us the good things, the nice things, the things that I can get, things that are of value to me. But he doesn't tell the other side of the Delilah, where you lose your vision. Got his eyes plucked out. Where you lose your strength in the spirit. Got his hair cut off. Where you're wrapped up in chains. You're imprisoned. Devil doesn't tell you that side of things. He just tells you about the Delilah. But he doesn't tell you the consequences of the Delilah. And hear me, there's always a consequence. Always a consequence. Judges 13, 2 and 5, I'm going to read that. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. They had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and now and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." Hallelujah. Footnote hint. If I want my child to go in the ways of the Lord, the first condition the angel said was that she should live clean. No use telling the child to do something if you're doing something the opposite. Next one, please. Hebrews 10. That's a bit small, isn't it? Hebrews 10, 30 to 33. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were encircled for 7 days, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish for those who did not believe. And when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall we say? What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, with righteousness obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Hallelujah. Samson got into the hall of fame, even though he made a big mistake with Delilah. How did he do that? What happened? Has anyone not made a mistake? Has anyone made a mistake? Judges 16 and 23 to 31. I'm not going to read it all, but it says this. Delilah sold him for 1,000 pieces of silver. She cut off his hair. He was in love with her. He was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She had something that other women didn't have for Samson. He had been with many women. Which failed his vow, but he had been with many women. But this Delilah had something the others didn't have. She knew how to talk to a man. She knew how to make him come back. And he kept coming back. See, that's what the lust of the flesh does. Especially with particularly men that have a problem with pornography. The pictures make you want to come back. He kept coming back. He gave up his secret. She got well paid. They arrested him. They bound him. They plucked out of his eyes and they threw him into a prison. See, the Delilahs of life want to blind your vision, rob you of vision, rob you of hope, imprison you into the things of sin, bind you. And here was the worst one that he had to live with, the remembrance of his failure. While he was on the wheel of grinding life. Because that's what he was. Amen. But all of a sudden in Samson's life, this is why he was written in Hebrews 11. Something happened in Samson's life. Turn with me to 16:28 of Judges. Have I got it up there? I have. Then Samson called unto the Lord. They were making mockery of this man of God. They were putting him on show and display in their temple of their god Dagon. It's very, very coincidental where this temple Dagon is. If you read 16 verse 1, it says, the temple of Dagon, which is in Gaza. Oh, just a little footnote hint. This spirit is still alive today. Forgot what I was going to say then. Oh yeah. Strengthen me. So the Samson called the Lord saying, oh Lord, remember me. What's the next two words? To stop the moment of the enemy in your life. You've got to get into a place where you humble yourself and pray. You've got to get that place of God, help me. Remember me. And he prayed. That's why it's imperative for the saints of God to have a lifestyle of prayer. Help me just this once. Give me my strength back. And God heard him. For when you were led, he was led by a young boy, it says, to the pillars. He said, and he told the lad, lead me to the pillars of this temple. You've got to come to him humbly, like a little child. You've got to come to him like a little child, humbly before your God. Help me. Start to pray. Then sought the Lord and asked him to forgive him. Repentant heart. Samson's now got a repentant heart before the Lord. All of a sudden, God said to him, you know what, Samson? I'm not going to look at your hair. I'm not even going to look at your eyes. I'm not going to talk to you about Delilah. I'm going to cause you to see your enemies defeated. And he strengthened him. And it says that the temple was full and it was 3,000 men and women, even on the rooftop of the temple. And he got this supernatural capacity. We call it the anointing. The supernatural ability to do. This anointing fell upon him and he pushed it down. And it says his victory was greater than ever before. His last moments were greater than his former. When you humble yourself, when you get in a place of prayer, when you have a repentant heart for touching those things I mightn't have done, I shouldn't have done, I've been aligned with those things I shouldn't have done, I took part of the tasty trifles I shouldn't have done. When I humble myself, he's faithful and just to forgive me and empower me again to get to that place where he had me before. Who believes that this morning? No one's a lost cause in the kingdom of God. Hear me. You might have written them out, but God has the capacity to write them back in. Never write anyone off. Hear me. Never, ever, ever write anyone off. Your God can give them a moment just like that and bring a turnaround in their heart. Samson paid a price. He died amongst it all. Then we have David, who had a moment on a rooftop. The entree, the main meal, and the dessert was all placed before him. And he took the bait. Bathsheba. Chapter 16, 2 Samuel, I believe it is. Nathan the prophet, the word of the Lord, comes up to him and says this. There was this rich man that had many flocks of sheep. But someone came to visit that rich man. And he didn't want to kill any of his own, so he stole this man's little ewe that he treasured and he loved and he actually slept with, put in his bed. He loved this thing. And that rich man killed the man's little lamb. David got incensed. It says, how dare he should die, and he will repay four times the lamb. The word of the Lord says to him this, that's you. That's you. May I say this, as saints of God, it is not my job to convict anyone. The word of the Lord brings the conviction. Hear me. The word of the Lord. Nathan was just the deliverer of the word. He represents the word in the Old Testament. Prophets. David starts to plead. In fact, if you want to read his plea, read Psalm 38. That's the plea that he pleads to God about Bathsheba and his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 38. Oh God, how wretched I am, for my sin is too great to bear. I'm being blinded by that wickedness of my own soul. He starts to speak this out. Next slide, please. You are the man, he said. Next slide. Sorry, I'm going fast. Go down to verse 12. For you did secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel. God had spoken to him this. What you did privately and secretly with Bathsheba, I'm going to expose it from the rooftops. In fact, here's the consequence, David. One of your own house will take all your wives. Hello, Absalom. One of your own house will take all your wives. He said, I've sinned. Look at verse 12. For you did secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He repented. He confessed his sin. Look what happens next. Same verse. The Lord will also put away your sin and you won't die. So when he sees a repentant heart, he forgives. It doesn't mean there's no consequence for my sin. A murderer on death row can get saved. Born again, going to heaven. But God will not release him from prison. There's a consequence for his. That's it. And sometimes, and may I say it even like this, there may be consequences for things we have done. But I'd rather have the consequences with God than rather have the consequences without God. Amen? All the time God is dealing with stuff, and all the time whenever there's a tidbit or a tasty trifle or a thing of the enemy trying to pull me away a moment with him, because he wants to wrap me up and put me away. He wants to control my years, live in hopelessness and despair, brokenness and barrenness. But God has come to give me life and life more. The minute he sees a repentant heart, the minute the Lord sees a repentant heart, he'll give you a moment. He'll give you your own moment. And these moments are to restore you and I and bring me into the fullness of what God has for my life. Amen. Is there another one? Is that my last one? Samson had consequences like David. We might go through things and go through consequences. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. We must be on our guard, walk humbly, have a prayer life, have a repentant heart, and God will always grant you a moment. He always will. That's the heart of God. But God will not fellowship with sin. I know there's gospels out there that say, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, you're forgiven, you can just do what you want, God loves you, and you expect God to move on your life. He won't. He hasn't left you, and he hasn't forsaken you. You just don't feel him anymore. Joel 2:25 says this, so I'll restore to you the years that look swarming locust that has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. God used stuff to make people turn around. The enemy is after the control of my soul and your soul. And it's not a weekly battle. It's not a monthly battle. It is a everyday awareness that I am a child of the living God, and he wants to snuff that life out of me and you. Amen? But your God, my God, who is greater than all things, can keep me at that place. And if I'm hidden in Christ, Ephesians, those who are hidden in Christ, if you're hidden in him, in other words, if you're consumed in him, and if your life is with him, and you're in fellowship with him, I'm hidden with Christ, and my sin is hidden with Christ, and everything about me is hidden in Christ, the devil can't see you. Are we still breathing? The book of Genesis, I'll finish on this. It all starts in the book of Genesis. God went down to Genesis. God went down into the garden, and he got some dust, and he made who? He made man out of the what? Out of the dust. Yeah? He made a man out of the dust. When the serpent deceived the woman and made the man sin, the Lord cursed the serpent. Is that what he did? He said this, "On your belly all the days of your life you shall go, and you shall eat the dust of the flesh of man is the food of Satan." You stay in the flesh. You operate out of the flesh. You're his dinner. You stay in the spirit. He can't see you. Jesus said it like this to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now you've got to understand, within five verses he said this to Peter. Peter, reed, blown by the wind. You are now Simon, reed, blown by the wind. You are now called Peter, little rock. Gets the revelation of the Father. Jesus tells him what must happen to go to the cross. Peter, being all haughty, now he's been promoted and puffed up in front of the other 11, goes to him and says, "Not so, Lord." Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me." Within five verses, Simon, Peter, Satan. Then he says this, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of, but the things of man." He doesn't know the mind of God. So if you have the mind of Christ, he doesn't know what you're about. But if you have the mind of the flesh, he's full of the mindset of that. That's why it's imperative for you and I to have the mind of, hallelujah. Are we good? You're in a battle. He's after your soul. He wants to control your life. "But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world." Devil has his moments, but God's got greater moments for your life. Amen. All I have to have is a humble heart. Humble attitude. Contrite, repentant heart. Amen. And he will give you a moment of restoration and lift you up to see your enemies scattered. Let's stand. Oh, yeah. I'll do that. Hallelujah. We're living in that day where I really believe the enemy is going to come with everything he's got. Everything. But Paul energizes us and says, "Doing all to stand, stand therefore." Before you stand, you better put on the armor. Because the armor is before the standing. Stand. Stand on what? What do you stand on? What am I going to stand on? It's all right saying these sayings, but what do they mean? What are you supposed to stand on? The Word of God, the truth. You stand on the truth. You stand on who you are. You stand on what He's done. You stand on the truth. Doing all to stand, stand therefore. First thing He'll attack is your identity. If you are. Oh, well, if you really were, you wouldn't act like that. If you really are a Christian, you wouldn't be doing that. Oh, if you really are a Christian, why did you talk like that? If you are. I I think the Christian's got to learn to now start using the power of the blood. The power of the blood and the power of the name. You got to start calling on the blood of the Lamb. Amen? The power of the blood. But I believe the Lord told me this morning in my prayer time to minister this word that some of His saints are weary. Weary in well-doing. Just tired. Tired of the fight. And that song was so prophetic this morning. Send the fire. Rekindle the lamp. Ignite in me a fresh passion. Give me something new in my spirit. God, I need Your strength. I need the anointing to fight this good fight of faith. Amen. If that's you this morning, God is here to minister to you, to revive your soul afresh in the good fight of faith. Amen. That chapter in chapter 11 ain't finished. God is waiting for more. Hebrew 11. God is waiting for more. Amen. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you need that fresh revitalizing this morning, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. This is your God moment. This is design. This thing right here is your God moment. You lift up your hands before the Lord. You mean business. God, I'm all in. I refuse to be half-hearted about my walk anymore. I refuse to be half-hearted about my commitment anymore. I'm all in. Father, you see your saints this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, for a fresh endowment of the Holy Ghost. I know I can't have any more of you, but I need more of your power. I need more of your presence. I need more fresh oil. I need more of the fire of God in my belly. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every hand raised this morning. God, I recognize where I might have went astray, but this morning, I thank you for a fresh moment in you. And Father, refire us this morning. Rekindle us afresh. Get me ready. Get me ready. I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you, that in you and you alone do I trust. And I thank you for the power of your name, where every knee must bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Lord, help me not to walk in the mind of my flesh, but the mind of your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's you this morning, give him an amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. You may be seated. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings this morning. Yeah.